A potential championship matchup looms for volleyball. Football hosts a top 10 opponent for a homecoming weekend, and men's soccer can't stop tying. Hello and welcome to episode 19 of Talking Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how you doing?
Pretty good today. A little tired after the game last night, but...
It was a late one, right?
Pretty late. 8 p.m. kickoff. That's what a lot of our games have been this year. It's nice to play under the lights and everything. It's just you get out of there.
Do you get the light shows?
Yeah, the light show's pretty cool. Before the game, after every goal and all that.
They do a good job with that.
That's one of my favorite things about the stadium
this year. Oh, my gosh.
And last year.
It's really nice. But it's what happens under the light show that matters.
And exactly.
What did happen under the light show last night?
Yeah, so we'll kick it off with the women's game.
Okay.
So against Hastings, both the men and the women were hosts to Hastings last night. Unfortunately, our women's side was pretty handled by Hastings yesterday. Hastings ended up getting the 2-0 win, held us to 3 shots in the game total. So I was not a great offensive performance. Those shots came from Hannah Haas, Kirsten Gardner, and Marosa Gliswin. So, yeah, 3 shots to Hastings, 8.
Yikes. Wow.
Two of those ending in goals. Not exactly what you love to see.
Yeah.
Keeper had 2 nice saves in that game.
Yeah, you got to have a few saves when they're putting 8 shots on goal.
8 shots up, yeah, 2 saves. So, 4 of Hastings' shots were off target.
Okay.
Just not a great game from the Bulldogs in this one.
Seems like that's been the recent story. For a lot of the games, they've been close, but just not enough in the end.
They're not getting blown out at all.
Yeah,
like
which is good.
They're holding their own, especially defensively, in a lot of these games. Like that Northwestern one was kind of an outlier.
Yeah,
with the 4 goals in 10 minutes.
Yeah, but very much an outlier.
Like in this one, a good Hastings team. They held them to 2 goals. Hastings is 3-0. They're leading the conference right now. They're tied with the College of St. Mary at the top of the table.
Okay.
So a good Hastings team for sure. And they were able to hold them to 2 goals. Unfortunately, not able to get any of our own, which, obviously, you look at this season and last season, they weren't getting a lot of shutouts. You know, they were giving up maybe 1 goal a game.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 goals a game. But a lot of their wins, they're putting up heavy numbers of goals.
They won a lot of games with their offense last year.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So you think maybe even against this Hastings team, giving up 2 goals, you don't love it, but it's also...
It's not insurmountable.
It's not the worst.
Yeah.
You know, you can still put 3 on them and win that game.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely some good things on the defensive side. It's just how can you get the ball from the back to the front a little bit better.
Yeah.
Kind of the same story against Dort last week for the women. So they actually ended up going 2-0 down going into the last 10 minutes of the game. They were down 1-0 in the first half, and then Dort scored early middle of the second half.
Yeah.
First half looked honestly pretty even. I'd honestly actually give the edge to Concordia. Created a little bit more, just wasn't able to capitalize on the chances. Dort had a nice counterattack, scored a goal. I didn't see the second one. We had to go back to the locker room to get ready for our game.
Sure, yeah.
So we got back, it was 2-0. Then after we were walking past their field to get to their practice field to warm up, Concordia brought one back. It was a really nice goal.
So it's 2-1?
2-1 at this point. And then we're warming up and all that, and then everyone starts cheering. We're like, whoa, what happened? And Concordia scored again.
The equalizer.
Yeah, so 2-2 with 5 minutes left. And then it was heartbreak for Concordia. We had the ball in the box with 15 seconds left in the game.
Okay.
One of our players got brought down. No call. I haven't seen it, so I can't tell you my opinion, but obviously all the biased women's players were saying it should have been a penalty.
Yeah,
so Should have been a penalty.
Didn't even watch the game, I can tell you. Should have been a penalty.
Yep, exactly. So could have been, could have not been, but we must have shut off at that point, been complaining at the ref, not looking at where the ball was going after that, because with about 2 seconds left on the clock, Dort actually scored the winner.
Oh, no.
Make it 3-2.
That's a lot of the danger. I think a lot of the times when there's missed calls or perceived missed calls, I think in a lot of games, in football especially, I'm sure it's the same in soccer, you get so riled up with the refs and external factors that you lose focus on your own game, you lose focus on the fundamentals. I don't know if that's what happened there, but a lot of the times it just takes your attention off the field, and that can be so dangerous.
Yeah, for sure, especially in soccer where the play doesn't stop.
That too.
Like in football, you know, if there's a missed call, you know, the play stops quite frequently.
Yeah.
So you can get a little bit of time to collect yourself.
Sure, yeah.
Soccer, you can see 15 seconds on the clock at one point. 10 seconds later, the ball's in your own net.
That's brutal. That's really brutal.
Yeah, just really tough for our women.
This has been a really rough stretch for them because it hasn't. It'd almost be better if it was these were all just blowouts. It would almost be better because, like, at least you know the game has been decided long beforehand. But all of these games have felt winnable.
Definitely, and to be fair to them, they are playing a pretty front-loaded schedule right now. You look at they've played Hastings, Dort, and Northwestern. They're all ranked in the top four. So College of St. Mary is up at the top of the GPAC standings. Hastings is tied with them with three wins. Then the next place is Dort, and right under them is Northwestern. So they've played three of the four best teams in the GPAC right now.
Yep.
Which obviously leaves us sitting at last place, but you have some, I'm going to say easier, but statistically more likely to win games coming up.
Sure.
So hope is not all lost for them. The main goal is, at this point, is probably get a good seed in the GPAC tournament and make it to the GPAC tournament first, obviously.
You get in the playoffs, anything can happen in the playoffs.
For sure. Take what you've learned from these losses, beat the teams you know you should be beating, make it to the playoffs, and then maybe have another go at one of these Hastings, Dort, Northwestern.
Yeah. So
especially Dort and Northwestern. Those have been winnable games.
Yeah.
Like, they were winning or almost won. Hastings, bit more of a lopsided, just, you know, outplayed in that one. Dort was not outplayed, just a bit unlucky in some aspects. Northwestern had the lead, a lapse of focus for, you know, 8-10 minutes. Even after that, brought a few goals back.
Sure, yeah.
So they, we know they can fight back from being behind. They did that against Northwestern and Dort. So we're going to see what they can do in the coming games. Their next game is against Briarcliff. That is on Saturday at 5:30, homecoming day, right after the football game.
Yep.
Big day for Concordia Sports.
There's a lot of sports going on Saturday.
Yeah, and Briarcliff is one of those teams near the bottom of the table. They're 0 wins, 2 ties, 1 loss.
Okay.
So
winnable.
Definitely winnable. We're going to see what they can do against a potentially weaker opponent.
Sure.
See if they can get the job done, which I think they will. They have the firepower to do so. You know, we've been talking all year and all last year about the 50 goals that
last year was crazy, dude.
In this season.
This is such a stark, but you know, like all the players, like that was the other one of the talking points about the women's team last year was all the big names were coming back.
Yep.
That was a super young team. They're still a super young team, and they have all of the production that they had from last year for the most part is back on that roster, same coach, same scheme. It's something's got to click, and I think it will. Hopefully it does against Briarcliff.
Yeah, and I can imagine a lot of coaches after maybe playing against Kirsten, especially for
her
season, know she's rapid, so fast.
Yeah, she's, you know, one of the faster people on campus, I bet.
Right, you'd probably race her against 90% of the people here, and she'd beat them.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Men or women.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, she'll beat most of them.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and if you don't believe us, please go to a women's soccer game.
Just watch.
It's insane.
Yeah. But I can imagine lots of coaches have obviously seen she scored a lot of goals last year. Maybe watch some film on her.
The tape's out.
Yeah. Coach their defenders a little bit. You can see against Dort, game plan, they put one of their quicker defenders on her.
Yeah.
Someone who's a little bigger than Kirsten as well. So the whole game plan was have this girl basically follow her around and just get a body on her whenever they could. Honestly, looked like impediment to me at a lot of points. Looked like she was fouling a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's a strategy, and it worked to decent effect. So we'll see if Coach Nick can cook up some new game plan to counter what the other coaches are doing.
Especially against Briarcliff. That's a really winnable one, I think.
Definitely. I think we'll get to see Kirsten shine in that one.
Yeah. But talking about winnable games, on the flip side of the coin, you've got the volleyball team, which is winning a lot of these winnable games.
Every game is a winnable game.
Well, when you're the fourth-ranked team in the country, it should be.
Yep.
They've had 2 games since our last podcast. They played Hastings. They played Doan. Not exactly creme de la creme of the GPAC, so those were both 3-0 sweeps. Starting with the Hastings game, that was last Saturday. Bulldogs only hit 178 as a team, but it didn't matter because Hastings only hit 139. The Bulldogs, we had 23 errors, which I went through. I didn't go through the whole season. That's a lot of clicking. But it was the most in our conference play, and we're 5-0 in conference now. So out of our 5 conference games, that was our highest total of errors. But Ashley Keck just kind of went crazy. 17 kills. She hit for 350. She's also up there with Ella Waters, 10 kills. She hit for 316. Now, this was the last game of that week. Going into after that game and before the Doan game, Ashley Keck got GPAC Attacker of the Week, which obviously if you look at the kill numbers, that's awesome. And then she also got GPAC Defender of the Week.
Oh, wow.
So she went 1-2 there. It's kind of funny going on the GPAC website because instead of just putting her picture once, they put it twice. So nice. there's three girls up there, but two of them are Ashley Keck because the other one is they give a Setter of the Week. So after that huge accolade, they go and they play Doan. And Doan, it's just been historical. Kai's looking at the picture now on the GPAC website. It's just Ashley Keck. They use the same picture, too.
They have the Setter flanked by two Ashley Kecks.
Two Ashley Kecks. Like, they couldn't even use two Ashley Keck pictures. It's the same.
They use the same one for both.
Yeah, like, let's go back a year and get one of the other roster pictures. Oh, well. They beat Doan after Ashley Keck goes attacker and defender. 3-0. Now, it's kind of crazy. There's been a historical dominance. This is kind of the football guys. For the football guys, at least, it could be the same for soccer, but Doan's a big one. We really don't like Doan.
Yep.
Doan's a big rival, and volleyball apparently really doesn't like Doan. They've won 12 out of the last 13 matchups against Doan.
Dang.
And this one was another one of a sweep. Most of them have been sweeps. Hitting 300 as a team in that Doan game, that was the highest hitting percentage since the Oklahoma Panhandle game back on August 31st. That was the first game before conference play.
Nice.
So just a really good showing. Very efficient team. I had the opportunity to ask Coach about that, and he said they were passing the ball really well, had a lot of impressive digs, were setting up the offense nicely, and when things are clicking, things are clicking. Ashley Keck, again, went crazy. She had 12 kills. She hit 429 in this one, so almost half of her attempts resulted in a kill. And we had six players had five or more kills in the three sets that we're playing against Doan. Four of those players hit north of 300. So
wow.
All around, really, really impressive game. Perhaps as a layman, I don't watch volleyball all the time, but you know I know a little bit. As a layman, I think it looked like one of our more complete games of the year against Doan, just watching it. And that's really big because our next one is the potential championship matchup that we alluded to in the opening. This is going to be This could possibly be a GPAC first place, second place matchup game that we get to see Saturday at 4 p.m.
Like you say, it could be a GPAC final.
It could be
a national championship.
It could be a national championship game. We're playing Northwestern. Northwestern is ranked number one. Concordia is ranked number four. They play Saturday at 4 p.m. again for homecoming week. Northwestern, just a lowdown on them. They're undefeated. They're 15-0 overall. They're 5-0 in conference play. They've only seen a fifth set twice. That was their opener of the year. They played a team that wasn't ranked, but you know, you got to give them, I think, maybe a little opener. They're not exactly all on the same page. It just got out of their fall camp. And then the other team, it was last month, and they played at the time the 16th ranked team in the country, and they won 3-2 in that one. Only two games they've seen the fifth set, haven't lost a game. They have the best hitting percentage in the GPAC. They're about 10 points ahead of us at 254. And if you look at kills per set leaders, the number one and number two spot are both Northwestern players.
Okay.
So they
should be a good one.
They are good, I think.
Yes, you would think so with the number one ranking.
Yeah.
But I think it should be a good game.
Honestly, I think it should be a great game.
I could see this being a fifth setter.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Maybe either team could sweep the other one. But
yeah, no, it could.
I would love to see this go into a fifth set.
Yeah, I think this
a close fifth set. Too.
I think this will be Northwestern's third time they see a fifth set. Hopefully, it'll be the first time they see a loss. I think that
I'm banking on it.
I think that's a good bad beat.
Yep, absolutely.
But talking about close games, men's soccer has had a lot of close games. I don't think they've been as exciting as we expect the Northwestern game. There's a lot of ties.
Not quite, yeah. Pretty much as close as you can get, finishing even in the score line. So, we'll jump back a little bit. We'll jump back to the Dort game. So, men and women usually play in doubleheaders one after the other. So, we were also away at Dort on Saturday. Like we mentioned, finished in a tie, 1-1. That's been a theme of games this
really
year, 1-1.
It really has.
Actually, the one against Hastings last night was also 1-1. But this game against Dort, it was probably the first game where we felt like, you know, we tied it, but we really should have won that one.
Mm-hmm.
We've had ties in the past where, like, we could have won that.
Yeah.
But this one was, we should have won that. It was one of the first games this year. You know, when we're talking about games this year, we kind of discard the Avila game at the start of the year because that was just such a blowout, 5-0. You know, Avila had almost no shots.
Yeah.
We kind of discard that one for our own team statistical purposes.
Sure, and I think that's probably the way to go.
Yeah. So one of the first games this year we've outshot our opponents. And this one, we had 15 total shots to Dort's 10.
Wow.
Yeah, so a very good offensive performance from us, aside from the goals.
Aside, yeah.
We were getting the ball into their half really well, moving the ball well, getting shots off. But unfortunately, we were struggling to find the target a lot. Out of those 15 shots, only 4 of them were on target.
Yeesh.
And some of those off-target shots were pretty close in. I had one from inside the box, hit the crossbar.
There you go.
I think that one counted as off target, even though it hit the goal.
How?
I don't know.
It was
literally on the target.
Who scores that?
I don't know.
Is that just somebody in the press box? Was this a home game?
This is an away game.
Oh, so there you go.
Maybe I'll talk to the team manager.
There you go. They've got one of their own guys scoring, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Wasn't a hit, that was an error.
Yeah. Yeah. We had Aiden Nachi towards the end of the game with actually 2 seconds left on the clock. A nice cross in.
There you go.
Just wide on the header.
Oh my God, really close.
He was in a good position, just wasn't able to convert there. You know, other guys had chances in the game. It wasn't just me or Aiden.
Well, obviously, with 15 shots.
Yeah, 15 shots. Overall, a good performance. You know, obviously, we're disappointed to get yet another tie.
Mm-hmm.
That made up 5 ties on the season.
God, man.
Yeah, it sucks.
Is that like half? How many games have you played total?
After yesterday, 10.
So you're half of your games you tied.
Over half, because now it's 6.
Yeah, because now it's 6.
Yep.
With last night.
So yeah, our current record is 2 wins, 2 losses, 6 ties.
Okay.
So obviously not great.
Yeah, nothing to write home about.
Not really. I mean, some of those ties have been against good teams. You know, a couple ranked opponents
for sure,
in there.
But for sure.
Still, you'd rather win those close games.
Yeah.
Hastings, last night, pretty even one. Oh, actually, I should mention... Actually, the goal scorer for us against Dort was Mike Weibel, once again, the center back coming up the field.
Attaboy.
Yep. Free kick for us. Crept in at the back post, lost his marker, and just tapped it in back there.
There you go.
I won't say tapped in. It was a bit harder than that. Ball was being driven in, still in the air.
Yeah.
Got a nice touch on it and put it in.
Yeah.
And that actually tied the game up for us. We'd given up a penalty earlier in the game.
Mm.
So, a little comeback to tie. Had chances to win it. The second half especially, we dominated them. That's where most of our shots came from.
Yeah.
But yeah, now moving forward to the Hastings game last night was also a 1-1 tie, unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, a little annoying, but they started off the scoring with an insane free kick. I showed you before we started recording.
It could have been a field goal. It was like 30 yards out. Crazy kick. It was upper 90. Goalie didn't have a chance.
Not a chance.
It was,
yeah.
I mean, hats off. Hats off.
That's great free kick. Not much you can do about that
except
not give up the free kick.
Yep.
But then we were playing well. At halftime, we were saying, unlucky, you know, he scores a worldie of a free kick.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah, we were playing well. Got into the second half with really good energy.
Mm-hmm.
About 15, 20 minutes left in the game, we got a through ball into Slade Light, and he jumped up for it against the keeper. Slade got his head onto it first. The keeper barreled into him. I'm surprised he didn't get knocked out with that.
Yeah,
but penalty kick for us. And then Martin Herrera converted it to make it 1-1. And yeah, that's how the game ended.
Man.
Lots of pressure towards the end of the game. We were putting it on them a little bit, but we weren't able to get the final goal.
Well, on the bright side, when you tie someone, obviously you're disappointed, but they're just as disappointed as you.
Right.
So you can look at it as we didn't get the win, but you also didn't let them get the win.
Exactly. And against a solid GPEC opponent, you know, we don't get as many points as we want, but neither do they.
Yep.
So we move on from this. We've also got Briarcliff on Saturday right after the women's game.
Okay.
Got a packed schedule. You got football at 1.
So you got football, and then you've got volleyball,
right?
At 4.
Yep.
And then you have women's soccer at
5:30.
And then men's soccer at 8.
Yep.
Wow.
Full day for everyone.
Full day for everybody.
We better see you all at everything.
Yeah, I'm just going to have lunch at the concessions afterwards.
I've heard they have Chick-fil-A at the football game.
Okay, I'm there. Well, I'll be there anyways.
Yeah.
But I'm double there.
Yep.
Talking about
football. Yep.
Yep, good transition. 3-1 on the season. 3-1 in the GPAC. All of the games will be GPAC games. I should just stop saying that, but it's on my notes. We beat Briarcliff 63-13. This was the largest margin of victory in Concordia football history, aside from a game back in the 80s against Martin Luther.
Oh my gosh.
See, I don't know. I just said, like, the tweet that Jake Knievel put out, it just said it's our largest margin, so we beat Martin Luther 64, but it didn't say, like, Martin Luther University or anything. I'm like, we beat the dude.
We beat the dude that our school's.
We played one guy, and we only put up 64. Yeah. Anyways, it was a good game against Briarcliff. Obviously, it's great to have against a conference opponent. Largest margin of victory since that Martin Luther game. 479 yards of total offense. This comes after the huge game against Dak West, where you had close to 700 yards of total offense. DJ tossed 5 touchdowns. Mark Arp had 24 carries, 156 yards, and a touchdown. Shout out to my roommate, Adam Van Cleve, had a touchdown. That was actually the first of his career. Jabo got into the end zone. Dalen got into the end zone. There was a lot of love to go around on the offense.
For sure. I mean, Mark Arp's been turning it up this year.
He's been crazy. So Carlos was out this game. Carlos Collazo, he's our backup running back. You don't really say with running backs, it's weird to say backup because it's more of a rotational thing. It's a running back by committee. Most teams have that because you don't want a guy, especially I think in that Dak West game, Mark Arp had north of 35 carries, which is a lot for a running back.
A lot of hits.
It's a lot for a running back to have in one game. So you like to have two guys back there, especially when you got Mark Arp more quicker, horizontal. He makes fast cuts, and then Carlos Collazo, who just hits you in the mouth. He's a bigger guy. And he was out this game with a hammy issue against Briarcliff. So Mark Arp had the brunt of the load, 156 yards. That is good. He's averaging right now 131 yards on the ground per game.
Wow.
That's fifth. And not just the GPAC, in the country. In NAI, 131 yards per game. Mark Arp, fifth in the country. He's also first in the country, number one, all by himself, in total gross rushing yards.
That's insane.
It's insane.
Putting his name out there a little bit.
You also got to shout out the offensive line in front of him, because they don't get enough love, including yours truly. But I'll just give him a shout out. So you got left tackle Cohen Carpenter. You've got left guard Tyler Walford. He's been great. A lot of our offense is up the guards, the A gaps and the B gaps. So a lot of the tackles get a lot of action. Jackson Anderson at center. He's been huge for us. We've got Schlepp at right guard. Again, like with Walford, it's a lot of the pulls. You're getting them a lot in the flats. And then at right tackle, you got big Blake Schlegel. Everyone knows who he is. You see his height and weight on the scouting report. He's the guy you game plan for. So I think it's just a huge achievement as a team. But all of that being said, that's all in the past. Forget about it. Flush it. We have number 10 ranked Dort coming into town.
Okay.
Not your typical homecoming. I looked at this on the schedule, like when the season started, because usually you got homecoming, and this isn't me complaining. I'm just saying it was a surprise at the beginning of the season, because usually you schedule Joe Boo Boo for homecoming and senior day,
right? Senior day, yep.
But no, we got number 10 coming to town for homecoming.
Next year's going to be number 10 on homecoming and Morningside on senior night.
I think we have Joe Boo Boo for senior night because this is the rough part of our schedule. We have Dort and Northwestern, so two of our biggest opponents, and then along with Morningside, we've already played. So, huge game. I gave you all the stats on the rushing. Something has to give. Dort is allowing less than 40 yards rushing per game defensively. Now, with a caveat, they've only played two games. We played a week zero game, so we have four games under our belt. They didn't play a week zero game, and they've already had their bye week, their first bye week.
Okay.
So they've only played two games. One was against Hastings, and Hastings is just eh. It kind of take that with a grain of salt, but again, it's Dort. They have the reputation. They're ranked number 10. It'll be a fun matchup, both offensively and defensively. They do a lot of stuff that we're not going to see from other schools. So again, all the more reason to show up for that homecoming. There'll be lots of excitement.
Yes, absolutely.
But with all that being said, and with I'm sure your tickets booked for all of the homecoming games this weekend, that'll be all for this episode of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CU and East Sower website and on Spotify. From Cohen Carpenter and Kyle Ulbrich and everybody at the CU and East Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!